Doug Segrist joining us. Doug, hope you've had a great week. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Belfort. Got a big upset brewing in Tuscaloosa.
The fact that it's still no score, 2.5
two
minutes
first
in.
Downs, man.
Yeah, hold your horses on that one, okay? Here's Alabama, okay. By the way. 51-point favorite today. And this is, we're seeing a bunch of these today as far as in the SEC. This is the by the W weekend in the SEC.
Yeah, and of course the SEC gets grief across the country. Never mind that the rest of the country, with maybe the exception of the Big Ten, does the same thing. They just do it earlier in the season. This
right.
is strategic, and until they change how you schedule, the SEC is going to keep on keeping on.
Well, here's a good example. You know, we conference play for the most part for a lot of these teams gets wrapped up, and then you look ahead to next week, the rivalry weekend. I mean, you've got Alabama-Auburn. You've got Florida taking on Florida State. Now, that this year doesn't mean much, but in years past, you know, Florida State is usually one of the top teams in the country. You have Georgia having to deal with Georgia Tech and that triple option offense. Louisville usually is a lot better than they are this year. Bobby Petrino already been fired, so he's gone, and they'll be replacing him. But so that's how how Kentucky wraps up their year next week. You've got South Carolina. Oh, they have to go to Clemson. So, and the other two games are involving, or the other three games, I should say, are all conference games. On Friday, it's Arkansas-Missouri. On Saturday, LSU will be at Texas A&M, and then you got the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game. And then, plus, don't forget the Egg Bowl on Thursday night with Ole Miss hosting Mississippi State.
No one forgets the Egg Bowl. But let's be honest, if the SEC had mandated a few years ago that you couldn't take the off date before the conference championship game, everybody would be playing – at least the contenders would be playing their rival games today, and they would be taking off next week. That was a smart move by the SEC. And the next move, it needs to be kind of nationwide. Let's take these FCS teams off schedule. It's great money for them, but it's just really not a fair matchup. At least go with a group of five.
Well, I've said all along that if you don't want to, I don't care how many conference games you play, whether it's eight or nine, the ACC and the SEC, those the two of the five, they play eight conference games. The other three play nine. I'm more concerned with how many Power Five conference teams you're playing, and I'll include in that list Notre Dame and an Army because usually they're pretty good year in and year out. I want to see at least 10 of those 12 against that kind of competition. And that's the problem. I mean, Arkansas this year, next year, they're the only Power Five conference teams that they're playing are the SEC conference games with eight. They're not playing anybody non-conference wise from a Power Five conference, and that's where I have a problem. I want that number to be 10 of the 12, and I agree with you. The remaining games should be against that next group of five.
I think what we're going to see in the next probably 5 years down the road, we're going to start seeing what we see in basketball, and that's conference challenges. Week one, maybe SEC versus Big 12. Week two, SEC versus Pac-12. And the other leagues will be doing the same thing. And I think that will help with a lot of the schedule strength, and it will provide better data crunching at the end of the season because it's more representative. You've got a bigger pool of data to draw from.
We already have a couple of scores. You know, there's four games being played right now involving teams from the SEC. Florida already up on Idaho, 10 seconds into this ball game, 7-0. Kentucky, I was talking about this Kentucky-MTSU matchup where Kentucky coming off back-to-back losses, you don't know necessarily mentally what their mindset is going to be. Well, Kentucky already up on Middle Tennessee in this one, 7-0.
And Kentucky really needs to take the wind out of any upset there. They've had a great season, and they really need to kind of finish strong because they're still in historic range in terms of wins in the season. I mean, it's been a long time since they've even had eight or nine wins, and right now that's still out in front of them. And I think that's why they came out fast today. It's senior day. There's a lot of emotion. Now they got to just play Kentucky football.
Well, and in all fairness, too, it was the defense that started off strong as they returned an interception off of Brent Stockstill, Rick Stockstill's son, quarterback returned it for a touchdown to get things going. But now we'll see if Middle Tennessee can respond and get things going on offense. We would expect that being the case, but we'll see how this all plays out.
I think it'll play out in Kentucky's favor. I like Middle Tennessee, and I would, you know, I still think they've got a shot. If I'm correct, it's Conference USA title game. But I think Kentucky just has too much to prove today. And give Kentucky credit, because while, you know, half the league is playing FCS teams, Kentucky's playing a legit group of five opponent.
Well, Middle Tennessee right now in the loss column tied with FIU. The problem is Middle Tennessee lost to FIU by the field goal. And so that's where the problem is on that the East Division side of Conference USA.
Yeah, and I think FIU has FAU left, right?
If I'm not mistaken, yes, you're right.
Yeah, and the chances of them losing that game are not very good. But anyway, it's on UAB next week. So
UAB,
it's going to be a heck of a game.
I was talking about UAB and their game tonight against Texas A&M. That's a start time of 6 o'clock from College Station. And I was talking about the fact that, talking about the politics behind the scenes, because UAB had agreed on Jimbo Fisher taking over and becoming head coach of UAB. But the Board of Trustees got involved and said, no, you're paying in too much. That's not going to be fiscally responsible. So no, we're going to veto that idea. Oh, and by the way, we hope that you take the job and become offensive coordinator under Nick Saban at Alabama. Well, Jimbo Fisher ends up at Florida State as an assistant coach, offensive coordinator, and becomes the coach in waiting when Bobby Bowden retires. And so UAB moved on. And so now fast forward to here we are, first year of a 10-year contract for $75 million. That's what Jimbo Fisher is being paid. And, oh, by the way, they host UAB tonight. You know, I'm not saying UAB is going to win this game, and they're 16.5-point underdogs to Texas A&M, but it certainly would be fun.
It'd be chaos. And UAB has the defense to pull this off. The question is on offense. They've got a great running attack, but that goes up against Texas A&M strength. Their starting quarterback today is a redshirt freshman who basically missed 2 years because of injury, who has only started two games. He was phenomenal in his first start, pretty good in his last start against Southern Miss, but he hasn't played yet in this type of atmosphere. But listen, this UAB team is legit, and you know, I think the fact that they're ranked in the coaches poll gets Texas A&M's attention. And also, of course, Jimbo, because of the close call, you know, he knows his program well. He was at Samford when UAB was getting started.
And you're right about what Texas A&M likes to do on defense, number two in the country, only allowing 80 yards on the ground. And UAB, when you talk about whatever success they have on offense, primarily it's rushing the ball, 238 yards a game. That's what they're averaging on the ground, which is good for 16th in the country. But when you look at who Texas A&M has already played, they've already gone up against some of the better rushing attacks in not only the SEC, but in the country, too. That's where the problem comes for UAB. I just don't know if they'll have enough offense to be able to keep it close.
Yeah, I agree. But keep your eye on Spencer Brown, the UAB running back. They put him in the same class as the last great UAB running back, the pre-death penalty running back. A guy named Jordan Howard, who has turned out to be a pretty big deal in the NFL. This guy will be playing on Sundays as well.
I think Florida is playing with the Michigan. I know it's Idaho, and I know they're heavy favorites today against Idaho. But how about the fact that Florida is already up 14-0, 12:46 remaining in the first quarter down in Gainesville?
This game, Florida really needs to kind of flex its muscle. Idaho, this is actually one of the better Idaho teams in recent memory, but they're still not very good. You know, Florida needs all the momentum it can muster going into that Florida State game next week, because it's such a big rivalry game. And Florida has a chance in the New Year's Day Bowl. I mean, they've got a chance at 9 wins.
Yeah, Idaho, a 39.5-point underdog today in Gainesville. Mississippi State on the scoreboard early, a field goal. Jace Chrisman, 19 yards out. They were in range for a touchdown, but they had to settle for the field goal. But they're up 3-0 over Arkansas, 8:27 remaining in the first quarter from Starkville. How about the fact that we're halfway through the first quarter? 7 minutes and 6 seconds to go in the first quarter in Tuscaloosa, and it's still no score.
I think Alabama's only run two plays. So, you know, the Citadel, we go back to that Georgia Southern game a few years ago, 321 yards rushing. Nick Saban had a nice little colloquialism that we can't use on the air. And you're kind of seeing, and with the Citadel's first drive, kind of seeing the same thing. Not a lot of big plays, but they were able to sustain, knock out a couple first downs. You know, Alabama hasn't seen an offense like this.
Alabama, by the way, speaking of which, we look back at their impressive win against Mississippi State last week, back-to-back shutouts in conference play. That's the first time since 1980 that Alabama has shut out SEC opponents in back-to-back games. In fact, I was there for that game. I was a teenager back then, but in 1980 when Bear Bryant on the sidelines, when Bama shut out Kentucky for the second of those two shutouts. But, I mean, here's Alabama clicking right along. The scenarios are out there, and wondering if everybody wins out and Alabama loses to Georgia as far as in the SEC title game, would they get in still? And under those circumstances, I don't think so, unfortunately, if you're a fan of Alabama. They would have to have help. And so here's the thing. Just win out and don't worry about it.
Right. If Notre Dame and Michigan win out, Alabama might be on the outside looking in. You look at the complete schedule, but unless they finish strong, and today, you know, I don't know how you really measure today, but beat Auburn impressively. And it would have to be a narrow loss to Georgia, but it would be one of the most frustrating seasons in Alabama history if they don't make it, and it's very plausible.
I still think they'll be fine. Now, here's the thing. I don't think we have to worry about that. I really think there's a good opportunity for 12th-ranked Syracuse to knock off 3rd-ranked Notre Dame today, this game being played at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, that's the one I've been pointing to most of the season. But as we get closer to it, it's at 2:30. I'm starting to believe in Notre Dame. I do not think they're on a level of Alabama and Clemson, but I think they're good enough. And we'll see how that turns out today. This, you know, the thing about Syracuse, what Babers has done, they are playing really good defense, and that's kind of an anomaly in the ACC. This is a pretty good team, but I think because everybody has had this circled for so long, I think Notre Dame will be up to the challenge.
Yeah, it's a 2:30 start time Eastern, 1:30 Central for that Syracuse and Notre Dame game. One of the three games being played today where both teams are ranked in the top 25. You got a nice matchup in the Big 12 where you have Texas and Iowa State going at it. And so that's something to keep focused on too. But, yeah, really intrigued to see. I'm pretty sure when this game got scheduled, they probably thought that Notre Dame would be in this conversation. I doubt very seriously they felt like Syracuse would be in this situation, 8-2 coming into this ballgame. By the way, the only other matchup involving both teams ranked in the top 25, we get it tonight as Central Florida doing a lot of talking as they continue their winning ways. And tonight they host 24th-ranked Cincinnati, you know, College Game Day on location. Central Florida looking to get to 23 straight wins. You know, at some point when your focus is on these other things that they can't control, I know they're having to do the politicking and all that. At some point, you begin to wonder if it's going to finally come up and bite you, and it could happen tonight with Cincinnati, a team that's 9-1 so far this year.
And a very good defense. You know, Central Florida's problems have been on that side. They give up a lot of points, a lot of yards, but now they're playing a team that perhaps can slow them down and can match them with the ball. And that's kind of a scary thought. Again, that's kind of the game that everybody circled. I like the chances of that upset better.
This afternoon, 2:30 start time, Central Time over in Knoxville, Tennessee, playing host to Missouri. I don't know if you know the answer to this. There's 13 seniors being honored today, right, for Tennessee. Do you know how many are from the state of Tennessee?
I'm going to say 3.
Yeah, 3 is the answer. Yeah. I was a little astonished by the fact that there's only 3, and maybe that has something to do with the lack of success over recent years, because certainly if you have somebody who understands, appreciates the tradition of the Tennessee Vols, then certainly you can't help but play better. It's just like if you know the history of Alabama and you become a Alabama player and you're from the state, you grow up with that, you understand, and it means more, and you get those extra intangibles. I was really shocked that there's only three of these 13 seniors from the state of Tennessee.
I'm shocked just because Tennessee football, high school football, has been on the uptick the last really 15 years. And but still they're not producing. Just look at the numbers on signing day from the state of Mississippi, for example. Mississippi may sign twice as many Division I kids or produce as many. And that's Tennessee is playing catch-up in that regard. And a lot of the old recruiting bases – now you have a strong Georgia team. You have Clemson kind of going into North Carolina, taking the South Carolina talent. So there is more competition for some of the more fertile ground that Tennessee under Phil Fulmer used to mine. And obviously the California connection is no longer there. So it's just tougher sledding, and it means it's going to take a little longer for Jeremy Pruitt to restore this program to where Tennessee fans expect. But I do think they're headed in the right direction. I think you can see by the way they play defense, by how fundamentally sound they are compared to even the start of the season. So the improvements there, now they're going to have to do it on the recruiting trail. And if you go by the rankings, they're doing a pretty good job, but it's not going to be homegrown.
You know, if you looked at Alabama's first 11 opponents and you go, okay, which team was able to keep Alabama off the scoreboard the longest? Did anybody have the Citadel? I think if you were like drawing lots and you all of a sudden you get, oh, geez, I got the Citadel. You feel like you're not going to win, right? 11 minutes, 31 seconds. That's how long it took before Alabama was able to finally to get into the end zone. Tua Tagovailoa pass to Jalen Waddle, and the kick was good. So Bama leads the Citadel 7-0 with 3:29 remaining in the first stanza.
I'll say this in fairness. It was still the first drive, so I guess that's 10 of 11 games that started with Alabama scoring on this opening drive. The big question here was not so much the health to it, Tagovailoa, because he's been playing, but the talking heads, and I have alluded to this as well on the show, have questioned whether he should even be playing. I think Nick Saban was pretty clear about that. His view is that you don't take anybody lightly, and you don't create a star system by sitting one person because he's more valuable than anything else. Obviously, they want to keep him healthy. I would be surprised if with, let's say, 5 minutes left in the second quarter, he's still playing.
Well, here's the thing, too. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that they feel pretty good and confident that Alabama's offensive line is going to be able to provide protection and not allow Tua to get hit. So I think that came into play as well. So far, by the way, Tua Tagovailoa in that drive, 3 of 4, 60 yards, and the one touchdown. So, but still, it's 7-0, and it took that long. How about Maryland? You know, what's wrong with Ohio State and Urban Meyer? Yeah, I know they're 10th ranked, and, you know, we look at their record with only one loss. They're struggling again today on the road against Maryland. Maryland, a 5-5 team, 3-4 in Big Ten action. They're up 14-3 and 9:05 remaining in the first quarter there for Maryland against Ohio State.
This is the chaos bowl. I mean, both programs were emotionally gutted in the offseason. I think when you look at the way Maryland has handled it, it hasn't shown record-wise, but they have been competitive. They obviously beat Texas to open the season. I think they've handled it internally better than Ohio State did. Ohio State, to me, even though they could still end up in the playoff by beating Michigan, assuming they come back today, has been one of the biggest disappointments. They've got all this talent, probably one of the three most talented teams in the country, and they just aren't firing on all cylinders. The offense that was unstoppable the first half of the season is now very pedestrian. I think the quarterback's been exposed, and I think it's a direct correlation to just the uneasiness of how everything was handled with the offseason allegations, and particularly how Urban Meyer handled everything himself. It lacked of true leadership.
Tennessee, by the way, 5-5 on the season. A huge win last week. It's their second win this year against a ranked opponent when they knocked off Kentucky 24-7. Today, it's the SEC game on CBS. They're hosting Missouri. Missouri already bowl eligible with their 6-4 record. But here's Tennessee just needing one more win to get to bowl eligibility. But we've talked about it before. It's certainly a team that's living up to and passing and surpassing the expectations. Could be even more so if we're talking about wins number 6 this week and being able to get win number 7 next week when they come to town here in Nashville to take on Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I thought Pie in the Sky was just a bowl berth. And so Tennessee is headed in that direction. I think this is a tough matchup, though, just because of Missouri's firepower. I actually would like it better if it were in Columbia because of Tennessee's success on the road against top 25 teams. Missouri, this is kind of last stand for Drew Locke, and I expect them to come out fired.
Yeah, here's the thing about Drew Locke, and, you think about the great quarterbacks in SEC history. The fact that right now he's third on the all-time passing yards list, he's going to surpass David Green either today or next week to be number 2 only behind Aaron Murray. He's going to end up number 3 as far as career touchdowns as far as passing standpoint in the SEC. He's not going to catch Danny Werfel, the Heisman Trophy winning Florida quarterback back from the 90s. And then Aaron Murray, once again, on top of this list as well, 121. But right now, Drew Locke with 92 touchdown passes. He's passed for 11,342 yards. He's been outstanding, and I think that's going to be the difference today. I kind of like Missouri in this matchup against Tennessee. Finally, tonight, you get Vanderbilt hosting Ole Miss. Vanderbilt, a 3-point favorite. Both of these teams can have offense. Ole Miss puts up a lot of offense, 535 yards per contest. The difference in the outcome of this game for me will be if Vanderbilt is going to be able to get Ole Miss off the field. Vanderbilt has been awful this year as far as on third down percentage for their opponents, allowing a 49% success rate for their opponents. That's not going to be good enough tonight.
No, and the best way to get is not necessarily get them off the field as much as keep them off the field. And you do that by sustaining drives. I think this is a Vanderbilt offense that we've seen go against weaker defenses and really kind of have a field day, balance, good running attack, and get the short passing game working. And I think that's how you attack Ole Miss.
Doug, as always, we appreciate our chats with you talking SEC. You can keep up with Doug on Twitter at DSegris. The TV show, once again, is The Zone on Birmingham's ABC 3340 on Sunday nights. He's also a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. But, Doug, as always, thank you. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Ballpark. Have a good one.